My prayer is that our meeting for these last 3 days have refreshed us and reminded us that we serve a great and awesome God. A God who wants only the best for us while we live in this life, and the best for us when we live in eternity. We know in some prayers that are said from this podium, prayers of thanksgiving, sometimes at the end of those prayers, the one who has a prayer wishes something, desires something. And he'll say sometimes he'll say, "Well done, good and faithful servant." Saying that what Jesus would say about him when life is over. We all want those words to be said to us, that Jesus is pleased with our life, and that being pleased with our lives, that when life ends and eternal life begins, he would say, "Well done," and be with him. All of us will have eternal life, but eternal life with Jesus is the Christian's desire, the Christian's aim, the Christian's focus, the Christian's heart's desire. For himself and for all who would come to believe in Jesus. Of course, we know that they would be with Jesus if he deems them useful and productive in the kingdom. And that's what we all want. Well done, good and faithful servant. In Matthew 25, just after those words of approval, by Jesus in verse 23, he talks directly to his disciples. Beginning in verse 31. Verse 31 of Matthew 25. "But when the Son of Man comes in his glory, and all the angels with him, then he will sit on his glorious throne. All the nations will be gathered before him, and he will separate them from one another, as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. And he will put the sheep on the right and the goats on the left. Then the king will say to those on his right, 'Come, you are blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world.'" Now please take note of these next verses. These next verses where he says to his disciples, verse 35, "For I was hungry, and you gave me something to eat. And I was thirsty, and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger, and you invited me in. Naked, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you visited me. I was in prison, and you came to me.' Then the righteous will answer him, 'Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you something to drink? And when did we see you a stranger and invite you in, or naked and clothe you? When did we see you sick or in prison and come to you?' The king will answer and say to them, 'Truly I say to you, to the extent that you did it to one of these brothers of mine, even the least of them, you did it to me.'" Do you see the picture that Jesus paints? Hey, Jesus, we didn't see you unclothed. We didn't see you in prison. We didn't see you sick. We didn't see you hungry. Well, but if we did, we would help you, Jesus. We would help you. That's a truthful statement, but they missed the teaching of Jesus. We had better not miss this teaching either. We had not better miss this teaching of Jesus, because our whole life, our afterlife depends on understanding these passages. Now for verses 45 and 46 of Matthew 25. "Then he will answer them, 'Truly I say to you, to the extent that you did not do it to one of the least of these, you did not do it to me.' These will go away into eternal punishment, but the righteous into eternal life." What is the "it" in verse 45? "You did not do it to me." The it is to a help. It's to assist. It's to do what another cannot do for themselves. The actions of a righteous person is to serve another, even the least of them. The actions of a righteous person serve others of any status, as you would help Jesus himself. If Jesus were here today standing beside you, if he was sitting in the pew. And if you do not serve others, you have a real problem. The problem is not with me. The problem is with Jesus, the King, the Judge, the Savior. Do you serve the so-called least of these in verse 40 and 45? These disciples of Jesus had to learn that to be an approved servant of God, they must view service among themselves and service to others as they would view service to Jesus himself. They had to view it that way. Jesus used 6 examples in these verses. Jesus asked, hey, would you pass by anybody that needed food or clothing? That's right. But you know something? Jesus said some more things in these 6 examples. The kind of help that serves the inner man, the inner woman, the needs of the mind, the needs of the anxieties. Invite a stranger into your home, an unknown brother or sister, you know. Visiting ones who are sick, visiting ones who are in prison. Do we have the courage to encourage those sick and their families? Do we have the courage to encourage those who are in prison? Think about that. The aim is to strengthen the will of others in their service to God and to one another. Just 2 examples of the least of these is when an immoral woman used her hair and her tears to wash Jesus' feet in Luke 7:39. We know her faith saved her in Luke 7:50, but we also understand that her faith in Jesus is shown by her desire to clean his feet with water and perfume. And second, when Jesus visited the house of Zacchaeus, a rich tax collector who was called a sinner by his brothers in Luke 19:7. Jesus, however, saw Zacchaeus as one who needed help through encouragement. And Jesus said to him in verse 9, today salvation has come to this house. Jesus saw a tax collector yearning for salvation, yearning for the help of Jesus and the approval of him. Many of Jesus' brethren did not understand or won't understand that the salvation extends to all. So they continue their pattern of discredit Jesus, as in Luke 7:34, saying that Jesus is a gluttonous man, a drunkard, a friend of the tax gatherers and of sinners. Jesus must be our example. The world must not. We need to remember that. For the world thinks of self-image first. The world is selfish. We must do our best to overcome prejudice of any type. We must do our best to stop inattention towards others. Inattention towards others. Let's listen when they talk. There are things in there that they may be yearning for you to help them with, or a need could arise in talking with them. And you do our best to overcome selfish pride. We need to work on that so very much. To serve all by being alert to the needs, and we all do this with a selfless attitude like Jesus taught, then we will be, by the grace of God, judged to be worthy of eternal life in Jesus' presence. You know, Jesus set the standard by offering service to others, and he did it without error or without sin. We sing a song, oh, to be like thee. This type of service, oh, to be like thee, should be our goal and our aim and our purpose and our heart's desire. And that would be commendable service to God if we do that. Jesus set a standard for all of us. And that standard was for his apostles and his prophets and exists today. Please be turned to John chapter 13. John chapter 13, verse 3. Here Jesus, while being with his disciples, just before the feast of the Passover, with his hour of agony and death approaching, he says as the master teacher that he, Jesus, verse 3, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hands, and that he had come forth from God and was going back to God, got up from supper and laid aside his garments, and taking a towel, he girded himself. Then he poured water into the basin and began to wash the disciples' feet and to wipe them with the towels with which he was girded. So he came to Simon Peter, and Peter said to him, Lord, do you wash my feet? Jesus answered and said to him, What I do you do not realize now, but you will understand hereafter. Peter said to him, Never shall you wash my feet. Jesus answered him, If I do not wash you, you have no part with me. You have no part with me. Jesus, as deity, knew that Peter, as well as the others, would not fully understand why the King, the Christ, the Promised One, would wash their feet. So in John 13, 14 and 15, Jesus says, If I then, the Lord and the teacher, washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet. For I gave you an example that you also should do as I did to you. For I, Jesus, gave an example. Was it an example how to wash feet? No, not an example how to wash feet, for they knew how to wash feet, the apostles. Is this a lesson on humility? Yes, without question it is. The apostles should view each other not as lords in the kingdom, but absolute equals, all working to serve the cause of salvation of Jesus, his message, without selfish motivations. In this example, Jesus had an attitude of humbleness toward one another. He certainly did. It shows serve even to the point of doing what a lowly servant or slave would do, and that'd be washing feet. Are we willing to serve one another that our culture would say is lowly? We'd better do what Jesus says. We'd better do what he says if he's our example. Oh, to be like thee should be our heart's desire, for we are blessed after we serve others. Blessed after we serve others with this attitude, the attitude that Jesus had and has today. You know, the apostles did realize and teach that Jesus was the example, and he was the one that they should teach, and they taught that to believers. John realized and taught in 1 John 2, 5 and 6, that whoever keeps his word, in him the love of God has truly been perfected. By this we know that we are in him. The one who says he abides in him ought himself to walk in the same manner as he, Jesus, walked. Live with the same manner of service as Jesus. He is example. Live as he is. Peter realized and taught in 1 Peter 2:21 that you have been called for this purpose, since Christ also suffered for you, leaving you an example for you to follow in his steps. His example is to serve others by sacrifice. Our example could be a sacrifice of suffering or even inconvenience. We need to consider that when we service and be an example. Paul realized and taught in 1 Corinthians 11:1, be imitators of me, just I am also an imitator of Christ. One must live by the standards that Jesus set, with attitudes of concern and compassion for others. Remember, brethren, there are many small deeds that go unnoticed by people. But God sees all and knows all. He keeps it into account, Hebrews 6:10. Now, can we be imitators and servants of Jesus? Yes, we can, and yes, we must. Can we be imitators of Jesus when we see him make others the object of his prayers? Yes. Yes, the petitions and prayer to God for others is a service to others, and it honors God. prayer for others, John 17:20. Can we be imitators of Jesus when we see that he had compassion for others because they needed a teacher of the truth? Do we take the opportunity to present the gospel to others because we love people and we care about their eternity? Yes, we should. Mark 6:34. Can we be servants of Jesus when we see that Jesus was not motivated by selfish pride or ambition? Can we be of service to them to that? When he helped others with food, he had true concern for them and the ones around them, as we should also. Matthew 15:32. Can we be servants of Jesus and see that he was not afraid to risk a relationship? Risk a relationship. When ones really needed to be told the truth about themselves, or they really need to be told the truth about their relationship to the God of heaven. We must not be afraid of that. In Matthew 9:36. Now to conclude. Jesus set a high bar for us. He wants us to overcome selfishness with selflessness, to overcome prejudice with active love and concern for all, to be doers of the word and not hearers only. It's a never-ending commitment to serve the Lord through others every day. All of us have the ability to serve one another, and we have the ability to serve our neighbors. We must do that. For our goal, our purpose, our aim, should be our heart's desire, is to be like him. That through a loving, honest concern for the eternal soul of each person, knowing that what? Knowing that they are here, yes, but knowing that to create in the image of God, that should be our concern with compassion for them. And that in the end, we want Jesus to say to us also, well done, good and faithful servant. Let's remember this tonight. When you serve Jesus by serving others.